Yes. I also want to stand on this watchtower. I saw lots of people doing it, so now it's my turn. Whoa. What a great view. Children of God, piece by piece, brought together by the Lord. How wonderful. You know, if you imagine the disciples, you know, when the first words were buzzing that the Lord might have been resurrected by the Lord God himself. For it was the most terrible Pesach they ever had. Their Lord Jesus. Yeah, it was kind of a disappointment. He had a great tale to tell, and he did miracles. And they even believed he was the Son of God, the Messiah himself. The one that God has promised to liberate the people from the oppression of the Romans. Jesus was kind of a deception. But now the rumors. We heard it from Maria. She truly believes that Jesus was resurrected by the Lord God. And we will read from the Bible, from John 20. Verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Maria Magdalena went to the tomb and saw that the stone has been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started from the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached home first. He bent over and looked in the strips of linen, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the stripes of the linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went aside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And as Maria wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body has been, one of them at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why art thou crying?" "They have taken the Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brethren and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Maria Magdalena went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him what he has said the things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, which the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent you, I am sending you. And with that he rebreathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. Yes, he has truly been resurrected from the dead. This is an eyewitness of people that actually saw it. They were there present. You know, they saw the Lord as he was first. And we, 2,000 years later, we can read it. You know, in 100 years, everybody has probably forgotten about me. And maybe, you know, my great-grandchildren will start a family tree and they think, oh, there was a Theon. And maybe they know there was a farm, you know. That's kind of what's going to happen. But Jesus, we talk about him every day. And even if you don't believe, you heard about him. And that's, of course, because he is alive. Jesus is not out of sight, but he gave us a great vision of what is to come. He is truly the promised one, the anointed Messiah. And not in a physical sense, that he would wage war upon the Romans and would take his seat. It is much, much more. He has defeated death itself. And that is the truly enemy, the death. He was unbeatable. Maybe you could beat the Romans with lots of bloodshed and victims. Lots of human life and effort. You could beat back the Romans. But the death, no one could defeat death. Everybody dies at the end. We know one thing for sure. One day we will die. You know, it's of course not very optimistic, but it's not true. Last week, we had a service, and it was, of course, the theme was God's truth is bigger than what we see. And Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, so death will not have his last word. For we believe that Jesus also conquered death for us. He made the sacrifice. The only thing that it requires is faith. You know, you just have to believe. And it sounds easy, and it is even easy, but it's also difficult. But it means that you have to repent. You have to walk a new path. You know, and last week it was, we had a prayer meeting in the morning. So I just want to ask maybe 8 children to come forward. To be on stage with me. And there's one big child of the Lord coming forward. That is, of course, we are all children of the Lord. Look. So now I have 3. So I need 5 more. Just wait. We just wait till there's 5 or 4, 8. More is better, even. So now we're going to have a little illustration with each other. Let's all stand in a circle around me, please. Now, if you pay attention, so every one of you can just take a pace away from me. So everybody just walks away from me in a different direction. Just step by step. Okay, stop. Now you can see. You know, Jesus is here. And if you want to repent, and you can just take two steps towards me. You see what happens? People have turned around, and slowly they are coming back towards the Lord. So it's just so some have just really come close. True heroes of faith. So now what you see, if you're not one of Jesus' followers, you know, you just get drifted apart from each other. And as you experience that, if you turn towards the Lord and you get drawn to Him, we as Christians also become closer to each other. And what you can see, and a lot of things, oh, everybody is going towards Jesus, and that's that this way. And you know, Jentel says to Ralf, that's the way, but Jentel says, no, this is the way. But for Levi, it is a different way. You know, we all try to walk towards the Lord from a different place. And we as we reach out toward Him, we become closer to each other, but we don't have to. Everybody has a different road towards the Lord, a different path. And the only thing that Jesus wants is for you to be with Him. And you don't have to, you know, talk to each other. You only have to talk towards to the Lord, you know, and don't focus on what the other is doing. But just focus on walking towards your Lord. You know, and as you come closer, you know, the differences will fall apart more and more. So let's thank you for this illustration. Thank you, everybody. And as we start getting closer to the Lord, you know, we start worshiping together. And we can see each other and taste the Lord in each other's lives. And still sometimes we think, you know, maybe for me it's different. I did so many sins. No one can carry my burden. Maybe you think I'm not good enough. Or maybe you think, if I repent, I start sinning again. You know, it must not have been not real. There's, of course, lots of thoughts that can assault you. For no, this is not true. As we look upon the Lord and as He walked on earth, you know, He reached out to the people that did not know about Him. He focused at people like Maria, who was a whore and possessed by many demons. You know, he focused on people that had a rough part, that were have experienced difficulties in their life, people on the fringes of society, simple fishermen. You know, he chose them to build this church, and the people that were not fit for leading anything, you know, except a boat. And that was written in Luke, verse 35. The Lucas. Lucas 35. Oh, Lucas 5. Verse 30. You know, the people that we look up, that we look upon as they have reached something in society, that is not the people that the Lord has come for. He comes for those that have been defeated by life. He told a story about how the kingdom of God worked. He told about the king, and he held a meal, and he sent out his servants to let the people that were invited, let them know that the party could start and that they could come. But they did not listen, they did not care. He told the servants, "No, I have an important soccer match." And the other said, I have a new PlayStation, I just have to try it out a little bit." And the other said, "I have made new friends, and we have to make a TikTok, so I cannot come to the party, maybe tomorrow." For me, I have an important meeting about how to care for each other, and I don't have anything to wear, so first, before I can come to the party, I have to get new clothes. Maybe next week is better for me. And others, they just kicked the servants away. And the king became so evil, angry, and he punished the people. And he told his servants, "So the party is ready. The feast has been prepared, and those that verified it are not ready. And just go out. And everybody that wants to come, let them come to the feast that I have prepared, for it will happen. And if you don't want to be at the feast, then so be it." And there was another man. There was another man that was at the feast, but he just had no clothes to wear. He did not accept the robes that the Lord gave him. He wanted to do it on his own way. And those that the Lord invited, you know, they became out of sight, you know. They heard about the message that there was a great feast was coming. They were invited. They heard about the Bible. They expected the feast of the Messiah to come. And they knew that they were invited to follow him. But as the moment was there, they all had to do something more important. So they could tell you everything about the Redeemer, how he was to come, what it looked like. And they were so filled with how it would happen that they did not see that it happened. They forgot that knowing about the Lord, knowing the Lord in your heart, is the most important. Sometimes we are so busy with all of the activities. And sometimes we forget why we are a church. We are busy with our career. And I'm already struggling a little bit, but if I take this promotion, then I will have a nice house, and we can go to Bali on vacation. Yeah, and then everybody will see how much the Lord has blessed me, and they forget about their family that just want their dad.
they are waiting for a father and a mother to be there with them. They're not waiting for all the material stuff. And I experienced this in the congregation here last week too. We are a church to worship the Lord. We become aware about what is important in our lives. The Lord at the center of it all. And everything that we do, it let it be to help others focus on the Lord. Why? What else would we do things for, you know, except to make the Lord greater? Everything else is less. And, you know, we are all, of course, also kind of in danger if the Lord calls us that we do not hear him because we were just too busy. You know, and the people that were, that did go to the party, those were the people no one thought about them, you know, like that they could be saved. The Lord picked them. Jesus conquered death for everybody, for the good and the bad, if they want to accept. If you can comprehend this, the Lord has come for everyone. He come from the big important people that maybe they don't have time for the Lord. But Jesus focuses on people that have interest in them, you know. If you focus on the Lord, you will find them. And maybe some people feel alone, like Maria. No one saw her. They feel as if they are failing. They could not reach the Lord. They've come short. They did so many sins. But there is good news. Jesus looks upon you. Came for the sinners in the weak. He's the redeemer of all sins. And this terrible pain that he suffered at the cross. And it was because of you and your sins that the Lord had to suffer. Don't let it be in vain. He did it for you. And maybe you feel out of sight. I want to ask you, don't leave. Don't leave before you have a new sight, a new sighting. Maybe you experience so much. Maybe you have never even met the Lord. There are people here that want to talk to you about it, about the Lord. That want to help you to get to know the Lord. Or maybe better. I feel like I am out of sight. And there are people here that want to talk to you about that, you know, pray for you, introduce you to Jesus. Jesus is truly alive. And they can help you to shout it out towards the Lord if you are stuck and acknowledge it. I cannot do it alone. Sometimes you need somebody to pray for you. And maybe this morning there are people here that know the Lord, that truly feel a deep connection to the Lord, and that they know that the death has been defeated. They have been redeemed, liberated from sin. Amen. You know, Jesus has conquered death. What a great mercy. Amen.